It's good to be with you. As I mentioned at the last hour, I appreciate so much the opportunity to be with you again, having been here a few years ago. The topics that we have planned for the meeting are things that I have been excited about presenting, and I hope you'll share in that excitement by coming and bringing your friend or neighbor. I'll remind you each time I'm before you what the topics are that are remaining, that you might want to pick a particular one you want to bring somebody to come and hear. This afternoon at 3 o'clock, we're going to talk about the struggle with bad attitudes. That is, the attitudes that we as Christians sometimes have that is a struggle for us, and we'll talk about that at 3 o'clock. Monday evening and Tuesday evening are first principle studies. You want to bring your friend or neighbor, so is the one on Wednesday. But particularly Monday and Tuesday, if you have a friend or a neighbor that's not a Christian and you want them to come for one of those will be good lessons for them to hear. We'll talk about Bible authority. That's just an old-fashioned lesson on what authority is, why we need it, and how we establish it, how we apply it. That'll be on Monday evening. On Tuesday evening, it'll be a study of the blood of Christ, what the Bible says about the blood of Christ, why it was shed, for whom it was shed, and how do we contact the benefits of the blood. Come and be a part of that study if you can and bring someone. On Wednesday, we're raising the question, will Christ reign on earth for 1,000 years? The majority of our religious friends believe in this concept of premillennialism that says Christ will reign on earth for 1,000 years. And so we'll raise the question and answer that from the Bible. Is that true? And if it's not true, then what's wrong with that concept? And then on Thursday evening, the seduction of Joseph. It's a study of Genesis 39, and we'll talk about some things from the context of how she seduced him, he resisted her, and there were some results that followed that. And we'll talk about that on Thursday evening. And then Friday evening, we call that selling and stirring, a study of Ahab and Jezebel, that he sold himself to do evil because she stirred him up. Could you be selling yourself, or could you be stirring someone up, or could someone be stirring you up? We'll talk about that on Friday evening as we bring this series to a close. Let's talk about Peter for a little while. And I encourage you to open your Bible and turn with me to Matthew chapter 26. And as you're turning there, may I suggest that Peter is one of those disciples with whom many of us who are Christians can somehow identify with him when we think about his zeal. Oh, he was a zealous Christian. He was a zealous man of God. And maybe we can identify with that kind of zeal, or at least we'd like to. His boldness, well, he was certainly bold. He was not unafraid to say what was on his mind. And we can identify with that. He was overconfident, too. He was one who was impatient. He was impulsive. Had too much confidence, as already mentioned, and maybe we can identify with that. And yet, he often got in his own way. And evidence of that is seen here. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 26. Peter boldly proclaimed his devotion to the Lord, like we would like to proclaim. And here's what he proclaimed. Let's look at Matthew chapter 26, beginning at verse 31. When Jesus said, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. Verse 33, Peter said, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. He is proclaiming his devotion and dedication to the Lord. Jesus goes further to say that you'll deny me 3 times this very night. And Peter responded saying, I will not deny you. If I have to die with you, I will not deny you. He is boldly proclaiming his devotion to the Lord. But before the night is over, I want you to notice that when Jesus was arrested, he followed Jesus at a distance. Look at same chapter, verse 58. But Peter following him, and you might underline in your Bible, at a distance. At this juncture, we're not going to turn to Mark or Luke's account of that because it says essentially the same thing, that he followed the Lord at a distance. But what is interesting is John's account of that said he stood at the door outside, a little bit different wording, but the same point. Here was Peter boldly proclaiming, I will never stumble because of you. I will never deny. I'll even die for you if I have to. But when Jesus was arrested, he backs off and he follows at a distance. Now, let's talk about following at a distance for a little while this morning and how Peter did that. And what does this text say? What does the context say about that? And I want to suggest to you that following at a distance is just as much a danger for us as it was for Peter. That maybe you are a disciple of the Lord this morning who is following the Lord, all right, but you're following at a distance and you're not following too close. That's what Peter was doing. There are four things I want us to see in our study this morning. I want us to begin with this. We're going to talk about the reasons he was following. Why did he follow at a distance? Not what he told us, not what he tells us, but what is the real reason he's following at a distance? The text seems to give some implication of that. And secondly, we're going to talk about the danger. What's the danger of following at a distance? And thirdly, what are the signs that we might could look for that indicate that I'm following at a distance? What are some things we saw in Peter? In this context, it says he was following at a distance. And then finally, we're going to talk about the justification. In other words, if we were to ask Peter, Peter, why are you following at a distance? What would he say? And I think we know the answer to that. Because the text gives us some implication of that. And is that any justification? And was it just a farce for him to say, I'm following for this reason, whatever that reason was? Those are the four things we're going to study. Let's start with this. Let's talk about the reasons. Why did Peter really follow at a distance? He's following the Lord, all right, but the text says he followed him at a distance. One translation says from afar off. Why did he do that? Well, I may suggest a number of reasons, and here's the first. That Peter had a fear of close association with the Lord. Now, for Peter, here was the circumstance. Let's look at that context. We just looked at verse 58. Back up one verse to verse 57. And those who had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. What I just saw in verse 57 is that Jesus was arrested. He might be too, if he lets them know he's close. Are you with that Jesus? Aren't you with him too? If he says yes, they might arrest him too. Same verse. They've led Jesus off for trial. Jesus is on trial. They led him away, verse 57, to Caiaphas, the high priest. They might put him on trial too. There's a fear of a close association. Look at the verses following our text. Verse 58, let's drop down to verse 59. Verse 59 said, the chief priest and the elders and the council sought false testimony against Jesus that they might put him to death. They want to kill Jesus. They might kill him too. Can you see his fear of a close association? I don't want to be arrested. I don't want to be on trial. I don't want to be killed. That's what they're doing to Jesus. So why, Peter, are you following at a distance? He's not going to tell us this, but his real fear is he's fearing close association. It might include him too. Now, I want to suggest concerning us that it very well may be something very similar to that. You're not thinking you're going to be arrested. You're not thinking you're going to be on trial. And you're not thinking you're going to be killed, not at this juncture anyway. But there are those who do fear close association because, you see, if I get any closer to the Lord, I might be expected to be more involved than I am. I don't want to be too involved. You have any members like that? You want to be a part, you want to follow, you want to be a member of the church, I want to be included, I want my name in the directory, but I don't want to really be too involved, you see. I don't want to teach a class ever. I don't want to be asked to be taken part in service. And when you're expecting members to take their part in doing, I don't want to be included in anything. I just want to follow the Lord, but I want to follow at a distance. I don't want to be involved. You see, I might be expected to give up some practice or maybe a close relationship. If I got any closer to the Lord than I am, I might have to give something up, and I don't want to give that up. I don't want to hold on to that. So I want to follow the Lord, but I want to follow at a distance. It might be that if I got any closer to the Lord, I might be held to a higher standard and expected to follow that than I'm following now. You say, I'm doing quite well with what I'm doing, and I have my own standard, but if you get a little closer to the Lord, I might be held to a higher standard than what I am. And so why do some people follow at a distance like Peter? It may simply be a fear of a close association, but may I suggest a second reason? Peter's following, but he's following at a distance because he's deceived himself into thinking he's still following the Lord. He's following, but he don't want to get too close. He's following, but he don't want to be too involved. Maybe you're following, but you don't want to be too involved. You see, Peter had deceived himself into thinking, I'm at least with John, but I don't want to go as far as John. Look at John's account of this. Turn to John 18. John's account gives just a little more detail. I want you to notice in verse 15 and 16. He's going with John. He's with John. That's who we think it is, at least who I think it is. Look at verse 15. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple, who I think to be John. Another disciple was known to the high priest, and he went in with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest, but Peter stood at the door outside. But the other disciple who was known to the high priest went out and spoke to her who kept the door and brought Peter in. Peter went with John, and he went so far, but he didn't go as far as John went. What does that tell you? What I learned from that is he's deceived himself into thinking, I'm still following the Lord. It may be that you're following the Lord and you're following at a distance, but you just don't think of yourself at being at a distance. I'm at least following the Lord. Peter very well may be thinking, at least I'm going where Jesus is, and others have gone and forsaken him and gone elsewhere. But I'm going at least where he is. I'm following it for a little while anyway. At least I'm getting closer than others are. Why is Peter following at a distance? He has a fear of a close association, and secondly, he's deceived himself into thinking he's still following. But may I suggest a third reason? He had ignored the warnings. He had ignored the warnings. You remember Luke chapter 22? That's where Jesus said to Peter, Peter, Satan has desired you, that is all of the disciples, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, singular, you Peter. I prayed for you individual. Because Satan has desired you. And he said, I have prayed for you that your faith fail not, but when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. Remember that? He said, I pray for your faith not to fail, but it will fail, is what Jesus is saying. So Jesus had warned him and said, your faith is going to fail at some point. That's not all. Back to our text where we read in the beginning, just a moment ago in Matthew chapter 26. Jesus had told him that he would deny me three times, he said. Said, you're going to stumble because, no, I won't stumble. Well, not only are you going to stumble, you're going to deny me three times this very night. That's going to happen. He'd ignored that. And may I suggest to you that when the cock crowed the first time, it should have shook him to the core. Because what the Lord said in Matthew chapter 26 is, the cock is going to crow twice, and before the second crow, you're going to deny me three times. So he heard the cock crow once, he heard him crow twice, and that should have shook him to the core. What's he doing? He's ignoring the warning. He bowed his neck, he denied the Lord again and again, and finally it hit him the second time. Look with me at Mark chapter 14, if you will. Look at Mark chapter 14. We've looked at Matthew's account. We've looked at John's account. Mark chapter 14. Look at Mark 14 beginning at verse 68. Mark 14 beginning at verse 68. And he denied it, saying that I neither know nor understand what you're saying. And he went out to the porch and the rooster crowed. He should have been alarmed at that point. And the servant girl said to him again, those who stood by, this was one of them. But he denied it again. And a little later, those who stood at the door said to Peter again, surely you're one of them, that for you are Galilean and your speech shows it. And he began to curse and to swear and said, I do not know this man of whom you speak. Now notice verse 72. Are you reading with me? And a second time the rooster crowed. And Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said to him, before the rooster crows twice, you'll deny me three times. It's a little too late. Why are you denying the Lord, Peter? Peter's not going to tell us this, but he had been ignoring the warnings. The Lord had said, your faith's going to fail, you're going to deny me, and the rooster's going to crow twice, and you'll deny me three times. And he ignored every one of the warnings. Could it be you're ignoring the warnings? You're following the Lord, but you're standing back at a distance, only getting a glimpse of the Lord, and the reason you're doing that is the Lord has warned you and warned you and warned you and ignored every one of the warnings. There's a fourth reason, perhaps, why he's following the Lord at a distance. Why is Peter following the Lord at a distance? Because he's forgotten the commitment that he had made. He's forgotten all about that. Do you remember the commitment that Jesus, the Lord, had required of all the disciples? Turn back to Matthew, the 16th chapter, if you will. And in verse 21. This is what the Lord had said concerning the disciples. He said, I demand this of all my disciples. That included Peter. Look at verse 21. He said, 21 and on down through verse 22. Matthew chapter 16, if you will. And I said verse 21, verse 24. That if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. What you're going to have to do, Peter, and all the other disciples, you're going to have to say no to yourself, your own desires, your own wishes, your own interests. take up the burden, you're going to have to follow me. That's commitment, Peter. He demanded that of all of them. Notice also in our text, beginning at Matthew chapter 26 and verse 32, that's where the Lord had said, you'll stumble. Oh, no, I won't stumble. I'll never stumble. That's commitment he's made. You'll deny me three times. No, I'll even die for you if I have to. He's made a commitment to follow the Lord. And for the moment, he's forgotten all about that. When they come to Jesus and they or come to Peter and say, aren't you with this man Jesus? Oh, no, I don't know who he is. He's forgotten all about the commitment. Come to him a second time. Aren't you with Jesus? He's forgotten all about that for the moment. Come to him a third time and ask, aren't you with him? Your speech betrays you. Forgotten all about that for the moment. And what I want to suggest to you is we make a commitment when we obey the gospel. Turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 6. You've made a commitment. You have been baptized into Christ. And the moment you were baptized, I want you to notice with me beginning at verse 17, but God be thanked, you were the slaves of sin, but you obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine to which you were delivered, and having been made free from sin, you become the slaves of righteousness. You made a commitment to serve righteousness and to serve God when you obeyed the gospel. You made that commitment. In fact, the Bible also talks about the principle in Luke chapter 6 and in verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord? When you call Jesus your Lord, your master, your ruler, you're saying, I am submitting my life to his rule. You made a commitment when you obeyed the gospel. Why then are you following at a distance? Why did Peter follow at a distance? He had a fear of a close association. Secondly, he deceived himself into thinking he's still following the Lord. Thirdly, it's because he ignored the warnings. And fourth, he had forgotten the commitment he had made to the Lord. But let's talk about a second thing now. Let's talk about the dangers. What's the danger following at a distance? We might argue that at least he's following, isn't he? It's kind of like somebody that comes to church, but they're not committed to the Lord. At least they're coming. What's the danger of that? What's the danger of putting the Lord at a distance and following him, but following him at a distance? What's wrong with standing at the door outside? Well, let's take the case of Peter and see what happened to him. Here's the first thing. I want to suggest to you that led to other sins. In Peter's case, it led to other sins. And it will with you as well. How did it lead to other sins? Let's consider this. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 26 in our text. Remember verse 58, he's following the Lord at a distance. It led to lying. Remember, he had a fear of a close association. He didn't want to get too close to the Lord because of what that might involve. So when he's asked point blank, do you know this man? Look at verse 70. Verse 70, he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you're saying. He's lying through his teeth. How do you reach that point? He's following at a distance. He denied the Lord himself. Not only did he tell a lie, but he's denying the Lord. Three times he did that. I don't know who he is. I don't know who he is. He cursed and he swore and said, I don't know who he is. Jesus had warned about this. He said, your faith is going to fail. And it did. The bottom fell out of his faith. Just like Jesus had warned. He's following at a distance. What I'm suggesting to you, listen to me carefully as I suggest this, that it's not surprising when one follows the Lord at a distance when they become involved in worldliness. You'll be surprised at that. Not surprising one who is dedicated and devoted and following close to the Lord when they become involved, but it's not surprising when one follows at a distance and they're out on the peripherals of the service of the Lord when they suddenly become involved in worldliness. That's not a big surprise because, you see, following at a distance leads to other sins. Nor is it surprising when one follows the Lord at a distance that they do things that they know to be wrong. And you may even talk to them. Didn't you know the Bible said? No, they knew that was wrong. But they're following the Lord. Don't you think Peter knew lying was wrong? Don't you think knowing that denying the Lord is sinful? He knew that. You think Peter knew that faith failing was wrong? He certainly did. But don't be surprised. One who follows the Lord at the distance, that their language is not becoming. They follow the Lord out on the peripherals and they don't want to get too close. When you hear them tell a joke that it has some things in it that shouldn't be said. And they'll use some words to flavor their language that none of the rest of us want to use. That's not surprising, is it? Not really. Nor should we be surprised when one follows the Lord at a distance when their attitude turns sour. We're going to talk about that at 3 o'clock. Their attitude turns sour. That's not a surprise because they're not getting too close to the Lord. They don't want to get too close to the Lord. And likewise, it's not surprising that they don't know much about what they don't know, and they don't know much about what is wrong, and they don't know much about what's right. They don't know much about that when they follow the Lord at a distance. But when I suggest to you there is a problem and a danger, what's the danger of following at a distance? Secondly, may I suggest to you that it's easy to go even further away. I want you to get the picture. I want you to get the picture that Peter was following the Lord at a distance, and then there's a moment which he moves even further away from the Lord. Let's take a look at that in this passage. Turn to Matthew chapter 27, 6 and verse 40, or verse 71. 26 and verse 71. Now remember, verse 58 said he's following the Lord at a distance. But look at verse 71. After he had denied the Lord, verse 70, and when he had gone out to the gateway, in other words, he went out a little bit further. He's already at a distance. But he puts a little more distance between him and the Lord. Let's turn to Mark's account of that, Mark 14, and in verse 68, just to get the concept. But he denied it, saying, I need to know what you're saying. And he went out on the porch, and the rooster crowed. He's already at a distance. He's just putting a little more distance between him. My suggestion to you is that the fact that there is already a distance makes it a whole lot easier to put even a wider gap between you and the Lord. That's not as easy. When you're following the Lord close side by side, hand in hand with the Lord, to put a distance is a little bit harder. But when there's already a distance, a greater distance is not all that hard, not all that difficult. Let's look at some warnings in the book of Hebrews, if you will. That we can easily lose our faith altogether. As you turn with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 3, we'll start there. Let me suggest something about the context of the book. This is a book written to Christians in Palestine, perhaps even Jerusalem itself, who are greatly discouraged because of the persecution of Judaizing teachers. Chapter 12 indicates some of them are ready to throw up their hands and give up and quit. So it is a book of encouragement. Don't give up. Press on. Don't put a distance between you and the Lord. Don't put a greater distance. In fact, if you do, you could lose your faith altogether. That's the warning. Chapter 3, verse 12. Are you reading with me? Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. If you're following the Lord at a distance, you could reach the point you no longer even believe in God. That's the warning. Let's go to another text. Let's go to chapter 4, if you will. Let's go to chapter 6, rather, instead of chapter 4. I call chapter 6 in my own studies an interlude. As he's making his argument in chapters 1 through 9 for the superiority of Christ, he stops in chapter 6 to give an encouragement. And here's what he says, chapter 6, beginning at verse 4. It is impossible for those who were once enlightened and tasted of the heavenly gift and become partakers of the Holy Spirit and tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. Now notice verse 6. Are you reading? And if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucified themselves, the Son of God, afresh and put him to an open shame. What's his point? You could reach the point of no return. You already have a distance. Don't put a greater distance or you reach the point of no return. Let's go to chapter 10. Chapter 10. As he begins to ramp up this encouragement from chapters 10, 11, 12, and 13, notice what he says in chapter 10, verse 26. If we sin willfully after we've received a knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which should devour the adversaries. Of how much sore punishment anyone who rejects Moses' law without mercy dies on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose he shall be thought worthy who has trodden underfoot the Son of God and counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified an unholy thing? What's his point? Those three passages simply say that we could easily reach the point of no return. You already have some distance between you and the Lord. Beware, because you could even drift even further and go even further. There's the danger of following the Lord at a distance. But here's a third thing. I know why Peter followed the Lord at a distance. I know the danger of following the Lord at a distance. Let's talk about the signs that you may be following the Lord. What was Peter doing in this context? That I might be doing the same thing, but I never thought of myself as following the Lord at a distance. And that might be an indicator that I'm following the Lord and putting a distance between me and the Lord. What are some of the signs? Here's the first. When you warm yourself by the devil's fire. Let's go back to Mark's account, and then we're going to go to Luke. Turn to Mark 14 with me, if you will. We haven't talked much about the fire that was built on that night. It was a cold night, as we're going to see from John's account in a moment. But Peter warmed himself by the fire. Look at Mark chapter 14 in verse 54. Mark 14 and verse 54. But Peter followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest, and he sat down with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. I want to go over to Luke's account of that. Luke's got a point or two that's not mentioned here. Luke chapter 22, just stay there for a moment. Luke chapter 22 and in verse 55. Luke 22 and in verse 55 says, when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. What I want you to see is that Peter warmed himself by the fire. Now look at verse 59. This was a continual association. In other words, Peter didn't come and sat down by the fire and get warm just a moment. Then he took off. Look at verse 59. Then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, surely this fellow was also with him, for he is a Galilean. After an hour had passed. What I want you to see is that was not a brief association. He reminds us of Lot that pitched his tent towards Sodom. He is not bothered about being among those who are not God's people. Listen to me very carefully as I draw this conclusion, that when you are among and around the people of the world in a world of sin, and continually among that, you're following the Lord at a distance. Did you get that point? I want to make that again. Do you see Peter? He's following the Lord at a distance, but the text tells us that when he's following the Lord at a distance, he goes and warms himself by the devil's fire and stays there for over an hour. And he's not bothered by that. When you are among and around the world of sin and you're not bothered by that, you're following the Lord at a distance. We have brethren who do that. They're right in the middle of those who are sinning. They're right in the middle of those who are the enemies of God. They sit right in the middle of those who are warming themselves by the devil's fire, and it doesn't bother them at all. My friend, you're already following the Lord at a distance. Well, what's another sign that you might be following the Lord at a distance? When you would rather be comfortable with the world than uncomfortable with the Lord, you're following the Lord at a distance. When you'd rather be comfortable with the world than following the Lord and being uncomfortable, you're following the Lord at a distance. Let's go to John's account. I said we'd come to John's account again. Go to John in John 18. The same circumstance. Peter had warmed himself by the enemy's fire. Look at verse 18. The servants and the officers, whose fire was this, by the way? That's what I want you to see from verse 18. Who built the fire? It wasn't the disciples of the Lord had built a fire and some of the enemies gathered around. Look at verse 18. Verse 18 said, the servants and the officers who had made a fire of coal stood there, for it was cold. And they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. Peter warmed himself by the enemies of fire, by the enemies of God. To identify himself with the Lord would have made him uncomfortable, because aren't you with this man, Jesus? He's just been arrested. That would be uncomfortable. They're putting Jesus on trial. That would have been uncomfortable. They're wanting to kill Jesus. That would have made him uncomfortable. But it's cold outside, and he'd rather be comfortable by the enemies of God than to be uncomfortable with Jesus himself. Listen to me carefully again as I draw this conclusion. That when you're just as close or maybe even closer to the world than you are to brethren, you're following the Lord at a distance. That happened to you? We have people all the time who'd rather spend more time with those who are the enemies of God. The people of the world whose talk and their language and their dress and their conduct is foreign to the Word of God. They are more comfortable around those who are people of the world than they are in spending time with the people of God. When that is the case, you are following the Lord at a distance, my friend. you're following the Lord at a distance. When you're just as close or closer to the world than you are your own brethren, that's already an indicator that you're following the Lord at a distance. But then thirdly, what are some of the signs? Well, there was a careless attitude with Peter. Maybe there's a careless attitude with us. What do we mean a careless attitude? Well, he sat among the enemies and he doesn't seem to be bothered, does he? Remember, he sat there for an hour? He denied the Lord once. He denied the Lord twice. And he sits among the enemies and he's not even bothered at all. It's as if Peter was saying, I'm okay, I'm not affected, I can handle this, this is no big deal. Isn't it? Isn't that a careless attitude? And if we were to walk up and interview Peter while he's sitting by the fire, what are you doing, Peter? I'm just sitting here by the fire, it's cold. Aren't these the enemies? Yeah, they're the enemies of Christ. What are you doing here? Oh, it's okay, I'm not bothered, I'm not affected by this. That careless attitude. Do you have a careless attitude? When you reflect that same spirit and that same attitude, you're following the Lord at a distance. But here's the last thing I want us to talk about. If we could talk to Peter and walk up to Peter and say, Peter, what on earth were you thinking? Why are you doing this? I see you following the Lord, but I notice you keep lagging behind. And as they move, you move, but when they stop, you stop because you don't want to get too close. Why are you following the Lord at a distance, Peter? I think he would have given us an answer. And let's see what his answer was. He said, or the text says, that he did that to see the end. Let's go back to our text in Matthew 26 and verse 58. But Peter followed him at a distance to the high priest's courtyard and went in and sat with the servants. Now, are you reading with me? To see the end. What is that about? New American Standard, New International says to see the outcome. See how this turns out. Peter, why are you following? In the first place, and then why are you following at a distance? I want to see the outcome. I don't want to get too close, but I want to see the outcome. I want to see the end. That's what he's saying. He should have known. He should have known because Jesus had already told him. Let's go back to Matthew 16, verse 21. Turn back a few chapters. Matthew 16 and in verse 21. Here's what Jesus said. He said, I'll go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and raised the third day. If he'd been listening, he should have known. That's the end. Peter, if you want to know what the end, the Lord's already told you what the end will be. I like what Linsky said at this juncture. In his commentary, he said, we always invent good reasons for doing what we ought not to do. Do you do that? I know I ought not be doing this, but we invent a good reason to justify in my own mind. The reason I'm doing that is, and we've justified doing things we know we ought not be doing. Peter, why are you putting it out? I just want to see the end. I want to see the outcome. He wanted to know without being a part. I don't want to be involved down there, but I want to see how this is going to turn out. He should already have known. But may I suggest to you that often we are more spectators than disciples. Isn't that what Peter was? A disciple would have been right there with him. Said, yes, I'm with him. I'm his follower. I'm his disciple. You say I'm with him. I am with him. Here I am. You do to him, then do the same thing to me because I'm his disciple. But he wasn't a disciple this night. He's a spectator. He's a spectator. See, justification for following at a distance is we want to know a little without about what's going on without being involved. We want to know a little about what's going on. We follow more out of curiosity than we do conscience. Do you do that? Do you go to church? And you kind of go out of curiosity. I kind of want to see what's going on, kind of know a little bit. But when they ask me to be involved, no, I don't want to be involved. I'm not committing to anything. Don't take me wrong. I don't want to get too involved. But I want to know what's going on. Matthew Henry said this. He said he followed him, speaking of Peter. But it was only to see the end, led more by curiosity than by his conscience. He attended as an idle spectator rather than a disciple, a person concerned. Note, it is more our concern to prepare for the end, whatever it may be, than curiously to inquire what the end will be. The event is God's, but the duty is ours. I say amen. Rather than seeing what the outcome may be, Just prepare for the outcome, whatever it may be. That's the idea of being a disciple. Peter followed at a distance. Are you following at a distance? We see the reasons he did. We see the dangers he faced. We see the signs that indicate we might be following at a distance. And then we see the justification that he might have cited. If we were to ask him, why are you doing that, Peter? I'm doing that to see the end. Are you following the Lord at a distance? Would you come closer to the Lord? Would you come back to the Lord? If you're not a Christian and not a child of God, would you come believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Would you repent of your sins, acknowledge your faith, and be buried in the waters of baptism for the remission of sins? If you're subject in any way, we hope and trust that you'll come while together we stand and while we sing.